Yeah. I was talking to Rhonda just a minute ago. I said, I don't know about you, but I feel so good. I feel so comfortable. I feel like I've been ministered to. Those kids, boy, they rocked the house, didn't they? Wasn't that awesome? Back when I was a little kid, it might bring in, there was somewhat of a bad eye cast on dancing. Back when we thought dancing was a sin, you know, because it happened a lot in sinful places. But it's about time for the church to begin to reclaim some of the gifts that the devil's been using for a long time. You know, the devil has done a better job at using the gifts of God to do his thing than the church has been to use the gifts of God to do our thing. Amen? So go kids. That's good stuff. I remember one time with Seth Wabe back there. He's my oldest, right there with a popcorn bag. Seth, when he's really little, we were sitting around one time and some music was playing. And Seth was probably two, you know, the diaper. Well, you didn't have a diaper when you're two, buddy. He's probably about 10 months. So he's sitting there, some music, some bopping music started going. He was doing this number here, you know. And I was looking at him. I looked at my wife and said, did you teach him that? You know, because you know I didn't teach him that. Who taught him that? And began to dawn on us. It's in us. It's already there. You know who put it there? When the devil, God did it. God put the dance. He put movement. He put creativity in it, in us. And I think that a church should be very creative. And I've experienced creativity here today. And I tell you what, we're going to challenge you today. Hopefully, we're going to edify you. We're going to minister to you. And God's going to touch and change your life today. But I have already been ministered to. I feel like I've been to church. I could say amen and go home right now. I really could. Good, good, good stuff. So God bless you for using the gifts that God has trusted you with. Let's turn it back and let's just give these things to God and watch people come to the Lord and begin to experience the fullness of everything that God is. Amen. So congratulations to you. I want to pray before I go any further. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come before you and I want to add my blessing to yours on this congregation. Upon their wonderful pastor, the things that they're doing, God, they're reaching out and they're touching. You, Father of all creativity, you've always designed for us to be creative and to use the gifts that you've given us. And this congregation has not got into one single mold that bores people out of their minds. This is a creative place. This is a place where freedom is. This is where we don't feel uptight about things, that we feel the freedom and the express joy of the kingdom. Lord, I pray that your blessings would continue to fall upon this place. When they lay down, I pray they be blessed. When they rise up, I pray they be blessed. And I pray when they go out into the streets and the highways and the byways, they will be productive, Lord. And they'll bring back a great harvest. So, Father, continue your blessings upon this place. Open doors. I pray that you would just begin to raise up new ministries amongst these people. And I thank you for them for blessing me today. What a gift you've given the Johnson family. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I feel good. How about you? Amen. All right. Now, these two guys that are about to come, my middle son, his name is Jesse. He's not able to be here today. He is going to make an appearance via video. I'm serious. And, but these two guys here, when I saw the girls dancing, I remember in Maryland, when we were in the church in Maryland, they had a large fine arts creativity ministry that I pastored. And they're still doing this. And they're going to minister to you. They're going to do two skits today. And we want you to just open up your hearts and be challenged. I usually use these skits to set up a sermon. Neither one of these skits have anything to do with what I'm preaching today. But I wanted you to see a couple because they're fun and hopefully they'll challenge you. This first skit is entitled Witnesses. All right, guys.
Hello? Mm-hmm. It's on. Yep.
Good job. Good job. Right, right.
Hi. I'm the new guy. I just got in.
Oh, hi. Right, right. Hi. Hi. Good to see you.
Nice to meet you.
Yep. This is Spot, Section Texas.
All right. Section Section Texas. Section of what?
Right. Well, you're in heaven.
Yeah.
And I'm a witness, and now you are too.
A witness of what?
What are you talking about?
A witness. You know, in the Bible where it says, by so great a cloud of witnesses.
A cloud of witnesses. Oh, right. That's you.
Yeah, and you too now.
Oh, cool.
That's right. Yeah,
well, that's neat.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Well, what do you do?
Oh, well, you see, we look down, and we watch the saints, and we pull for them, and, you know, and cheer them on.
Well, that's awesome.
It is, right?
I'm a Drew Brees fan myself. That's pretty neat. I can
I'm
do
sorry?
This. I'm, you know, New Orleans. I'm a Drew Brees fan. Yeah.
Drew Brees.
Saints.
The Saints.
What was that?
That's Pastor Faust's room. He gives us plenty to cheer about.
Yeah.
Yeah. They call him prime time up here. Oh, I wouldn't give to be in that room.
Huh. Well, that's neat. So.
Right.
So you cheer on the Saints.
Right. You said Saints, like American football?
Yeah.
NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Oh.
No. Saints, like Christians, you know, the Bible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right,
okay.
Saints. So, right.
Awesome.
We watch the saints, or Christians, and when they do something good, we just cheer them on. We're good, like a support system.
Cool, like fans.
Like fans, that's it.
That's awesome.
That's right. Oh, yeah, it's a good gig.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Is that popcorn?
Right, yeah, you want some?
Well, microwave popcorn.
Right.
In heaven.
Yes.
You have a microwave up here.
Okay. You just got here, right?
Yeah, just a minute ago.
All right, so did you come in through the pearly gates, the gates carved out of one pearl?
Yeah, they were huge.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was cool.
And then you walked through onto the streets made of transparent gold, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, that was
pretty
neat. That
something
was
pretty else, neat. That was yeah. Cool. And then you went over the bridge over the glassy sea, perfectly clear water.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're
okay.
Shocked about the microwave.
Yeah, okay. All right, okay. Yeah. I got your point. You're right. Okay.
Yeah. This is really going to blow you. That's butter lover.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah, I know. All right. So, yeah. So, you did. Oh, like that right there. Right there, right there. See?
What?
Yeah!
What?
All right! That's what I'm talking about!
What are you
good
talking
about? Good job. That's it.
Wait, what? Mm-hmm. Will you sit down? What are you cheering about? This he bought what? Groceries.
No, okay. You missed it, didn't you? He bought groceries. He was on his way back out to his car when he realized that he was given the wrong change.
Uh-huh.
Turned around, went back, and returned it so he wasn't stealing.
Good job.
Right.
That's awesome.
Isn't it? Yeah.
There you go. Makes this sure is what you do all day.
This
you just
is what we do.
Okay, that's pretty neat.
Right. That's right. Good
that's
job, Ralph.
Cool.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. So, so you're just watching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ralph was our assignment.
Okay.
And you see, he's going to his car now. He's done shopping. What time is it?
Half past five.
Half past five, right. Okay. Yeah, he's in his car. He's approaching the Loop and Broadway.
Ooh, that's a lot of traffic.
Yeah. What's that? Yeah, tell you what. You got the hang of it now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, got
you
it.
You
cheer
him on for this part.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
That, you're supposed to put a blinker on there. What'd you say? Wow, that was red. That was not green. Whoa, no, don't hit. Hey, you shouldn't be. Hey, help! This guy's going crazy.
And that's yeah, witnesses. All right. Bible says we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I believe with all my heart, heaven's cheering you on. The devil wants you to think that God's sitting on your shoulder wanting to hammer you about every bad thing you do. The fact is that heaven's cheering you on. They want you to do well. God wants you to do well. He's pulling for you. Isn't that exciting? I'm so thrilled to know. And I like Brother Foster's section. That's going to be a great section to cheer for, isn't it? It's prime time, baby, prime time. He packs them in. That's right. You betcha. All right, this next one, this is their final one they're going to do this morning. This next one was a sermon series that I did on bitterness, envy, and strife. And the name of this is Bitterness, Envy, and Strife. Guys?
Man, am I tired. Yes, donuts. That's what I'm talking
about. Let me just...
All right. Who are you and why are you eating my donuts?
Hold on. These are really good.
I know they are. That's why I was going to eat some.
Well, my name is Bitterness Envy Strife.
Your name is Bitterness Envy Strife.
Yes, and these are good.
Okay, well, Mr. Strife, you're in my house, and I definitely didn't invite you here. You need to go.
Yeah, you did. No, you invited me.
I would have remembered inviting Bitterness Envy Strife into my house.
Let me refresh. Okay. You remember when you applied for that promotion at your job?
Right.
Yeah, and you didn't get it?
Yeah, you know, I do remember that.
You remember? Yeah. Uh-huh, my first name, Bitterness. Mm. Nice to meet you. Okay. Then you remember the guy that got the job when instead of you when you didn't get the job?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What was his name?
Newman.
Yeah, Newman. Yeah, well, my middle name, Envy. Mm. Nice to meet you. And then you remember when you drove home like a playground bully and you had road rage and then you yelled at your wife, sent your kids to their room for no reason, and then kicked your dog?
Yeah. It was a rough day.
Yeah, yeah. I know it was.
Yeah, but I do remember. Okay.
My last name, Strife. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the invite and the donuts.
Okay. Okay. All right. Good. You made your point. I get it. Now, leave.
Oh, okay. I'll just go now. No. No, it don't work that way, pal. No. So you have to repent.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Repent. Yeah. All right. Gotcha. I'm sorry.
Hold up. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. No, it takes, you have to be contritious. It's more complicated, and you also have to, you have to have faith. Yeah. More complicated, like I said.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right, you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to go someplace where I know that you can't go. I'm going to go to a place where you're not even welcome.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
Where's that?
I'm going to church.
I love church. I go every Sunday. It's delightful. I've served on the board. I'm a charter member. I've worked the soundboard. I've sang in the choir. Yeah. I've even been known to preach. It's wonderful.
Okay.
You want to go?
All right, whatever. I'm out of here.
Okay, well, I call shotgun.
Hey, hey guys, can you get the donuts out of the way, please? All righty. They did a really good job. It's normally three of them that do it. They actually did some high school assemblies on Friday, two different schools. We were doing some stuff on underage drinking, and these guys, they warm people up. They do some funny skits. They do some, well, that was funny. But they're not really Christian themed. It's just fun themed, and they do a great work. And Jesse, my middle boy, he just got sick in the process, and he's home with a fever. Wanted to be here, but guys, excellent improvising. Way to go! Way to make it happen. I really appreciate you pushing the extra mile. Amen. All righty. By the time I get through the boys and my wife, I hope I don't disappoint you for my preaching, but. My wife is going to come and sing a song. We actually did this on Resurrection Sunday morning, and we want you to be ministered to by her song. And I believe it's Those Are My Nails. Is that right, sweetie?
That's my king.
That's right. That too. That's my king.
Good morning. We drove into town last night about 8 o'clock, and we saw cars in the parking lot. And we were meted and greeted by Jason and Carla, who graciously let us come in and showed us around and introduced us to some sound people. We were really impressed. And we got here this morning a little late, and we met the sound people. And we were a lot impressed, because I'd been told my whole life sound people weren't going to heaven. And I'm just teasing. They were so. I deserve that. And seriously, just the spirit in this place is wonderful. Yes. The first time that my three sons and I went into the church that we've pastored now for 8.5 years, we went and we sat down. And not long later, a very gruff-sounding older gentleman approached us and let us know in a very deep voice that he and sister had sat in those seats for 50 years. And we knew we needed to move, so we did. I learned this morning that I chose right where your pastor and his wife sat. And I asked, do I need to move? And they said, no, you're fine. So seriously, when David says that we've been blessed, that's really sincere. We've enjoyed the worship so much. And just the spirit that's here and the spirit of ministry, the ministry of Jesus, just comes across resoundingly. And I'm going to sing a song that's called That's My King. And as David said, I sang this Resurrection Sunday. And I pray, and I've been praying since we found out we were coming here, that this song would help Jesus. Jesus is just really in a new way, and this sounds so elementary, I know, but I just have a real new realization of what his death meant on the cross and how that he didn't just do away with the law and do away with the Jews and how he didn't just bridge a gap for us, but he created a new type of person. And that's what you and I are. We're a whole new thing to God. And I pray that the Lord would reveal himself in a new way to you as you hear this song today and as the video plays. Thank you, guys.
Just another crucifixion to the people in that crowd. Yet it reaches straight through time to find me where I am right now. It shouldn't be him dying on that cross at Calvary. It should be me. It should be me. Those are my nails, and that is my tree. Was meant for me. That is my Savior setting me free. Everything they did to him should have been me. That's my King. From the tree in the garden to the tree from the fall of the angels to the sin inside of me. From the moment of his death to the life we live today, he makes a way. He makes a way. Those are my names. That is my tree. Was meant for me. That is my Savior setting me free. Everything they did to him should have been me. So I glory in the cross, where the sting of death is lost, where the weight of sin falls far away. Glory in his name, and forever I'll proclaim, hallelujah, hallelujah. Those are my names, and that is my tree. did to him should have been me. Oh, everything they did to him should have been me. That's my key.
Thank you, sweetie. We have no clue the full breadth of what God did for us. We think we appreciate it now. We won't until we get there, guys. I think we're going to get a new appreciation of everything Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. Hallelujah. And we're saved. We're set free. We're at liberty right now. Amen. How many say amen to that? You with me? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to begin this message. I've entitled it, The Fall of Man. This is where Jesse makes his brief introduction. Guys, if you go ahead and start the quick video, the music on that, right quick. All right, now the guy on the bottom is my son there. That's right. For his graduation present from high school, he wanted to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. How about that? You can bring the lights up. I'll tell you what, buddy. Can you believe a mother would let her son jump out of a plane like that? Ronnie, what were you thinking? That's my son there. Now, when you look at this video, you see he's having a good time, isn't he? I mean, he's just having a great time. As a matter of fact, when we were on the ground, we were looking up. We couldn't even hear the plane anymore. They were so high. And we certainly couldn't see this. We were looking for parachutes. We hadn't seen one yet. We didn't know he's up there, hoo-ha, having a good time. Now, there's some physical dynamics to what's happening here, okay? 124 miles an hour is terminal velocity. 160 to 180 miles an hour is a terminal velocity when you actually point your head and go straight down. The record, the world record in the current atmosphere, these guys are going about 10,000 feet, is 321 miles an hour. They slow down to 110 miles an hour before they open the parachute, okay? This is what we call skydiving. Now, some of you are saying, How many would want to do that? You say, man, I'm on, okay? How many of you say that? We'll let other people do that. Raise your hand, okay? All right, let me give you a chilling fact. The fact of the matter is we are all falling at terminal velocity. You're excited about it? That's good. If you're not, I'm sorry, you already are. Everybody is falling. It began in the Garden of Eden. Let's go to our scripture this morning. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 15, we'll be reading out of the NIV. Now, when people are falling, they feel like they're weightless. They have no sense of loss. They feel like they're just flying. That's why Jesse's got this big grin on his face. Woo-hoo, you know. This is cool, but the fact is he's falling at a great amount of speed toward the ground, but it doesn't feel that way. And he's looking at the horizon, and it's still in the same place, but he's falling. He's on his way down. Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 15, but the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? This is after they sinned, he and Eve. He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Don't we need somebody to blame? Honestly, do we ever do anything wrong on ourselves? Isn't there always somebody else to point to say, well, I wouldn't be this way, but The fact is, we are responsible for our own actions, period. As a matter of fact, you can't be saved unless you accept responsibility for your actions and your spiritual condition. It takes humility. You've got to say, God, I'm wrong, you're right. I find myself saying that a lot. Lord, once again, I'm completely wrong and you're completely right. I've got no one to blame but myself. When I do that, I have the power to change things. But if I've got someone else to blame, it'll always be somebody else's fault, and I am their prisoner until they get better, then I can get better. That's not the way God planned it. God planned it for you to accept responsibility for your own life, and that gives you the power to be set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. I like that. I'd rather it be my fault, because then I've got a say in the matter. I'm nobody's prisoner. I'm no one's victim. It's all up to me. All I've got to do is humble myself, accept responsibility for my life, and then I will be changed by the power of Jesus Christ. The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, here we go again, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat the dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. The other day we were cleaning off a lot beside our house. And we had the mowers going, the weed eaters were whacking and everything was going on. And I heard this, looked over there, and I think it was it you, Matt? Yeah, you're the one that discovered it. He ran into a snake, and there's a certain noise that a human makes when they find a snake. You don't have to say, well, is that a butterfly or a hummingbird? You know exactly what they've stumbled upon. So when he made this noise, Rhonda leaves hers, I leave mine, everybody runs, the whole Johnson clan runs over and says, whoa, 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 and sure enough, here's this snake writhing around. Well, we safely removed this snake across the street. Now, of course, before we safely, what I mean by safely removed, we looked to the left and we looked to the right, and then we walked across the street. The snake didn't fare so well. We cut his head off and then dismembered him about three or four different places. Why do we have such a thing about snakes? Because of what happened in the garden. You see, we have fallen when we sinned. When we fell, at that one moment, all of humanity behind Adam and Eve would experience that falling. Not one of us are good enough to make heaven without Jesus Christ, of course. Oftentimes when I preach a funeral, I'll tell people, say, it's not because this dear loved one loved gardening. It's not because they were a good mom or dad. It's not because they loved life. It's not because they were in love with the grandchildren or real good at quilting. The reason they're in heaven is because they have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. No other reason. There's tons of good people in heaven, but they're in hell, but there's only redeemed people in heaven. Aren't you glad? So you can be good. You can give to charity, but you're still falling. You need help. You need a parachute. Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. To the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor will you give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, because you didn't lead in this position that I ordained you to do. You followed instead of led. You left her vulnerable, Adam. He said, because you did this, you must, I will, because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit from the tree by which I commanded, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, Adam, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin, not leaves. Blood had to be shed. Blood still has to be shed. He made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. When I read that scripture, I began to think, it doesn't say anywhere in God's word, he removed the cherubim. Isn't that a fascinating thought? They're still here. They're still guarding that spot. Where is it? We'll never find it. Thanks be to God, we'll never find it. Because if Adam and Eve had eaten from that tree of life, his damnation would have been sealed. His doom would have been forever. There'd have been no hope for redemption. There'd been no plan of salvation. There'd been no way that he could have recovered because God was protecting us from ourselves. Oh, wow. So we're falling. We're still falling. And some people says, well, I don't feel like I'm falling. Well, just let some years get on you, buddy. Just wait a while. Just keep living. You're going to begin to feel it. When I was introduced, or Pastor Foss introduced me, I went to stand up and went, oh, man, my knees just would not respond to my mind. See, my spirit has been revived and saved by Jesus Christ, but my body is still doomed. I can't stop it. I can't stop the process of dying, for it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, the judgment. We're still falling. Our souls are redeemed if you've accepted Christ, but your body is going to die. Everyone look at, take your finger, point to yourself. Come on. Say, body, you're going to die. I want to save you, but I can't. You are doomed. Boy, that's a terrible thought, isn't it? Salvation through Jesus Christ has freed our souls from the fall, but not our flesh. Our flesh is cursed. It is. We're all going to die. My dad used to give me confidence and encouragement. I talked to him about death. It's so neat being a preacher's son, isn't it, Pastor? There's so many neat things. We have an advantage being preacher's kids. There's so many advantages. And I'd ask Dad, I'd say, man, he said, well, you know, we're going to die. It's going to happen. And David, we're redeemed by Jesus Christ. And don't worry about it. You can't stop it. All right, Dad, we're going to die. I didn't feel like I was going to die soon then, but I've kept that with me all my life. And I've realized that. And I have prepared my soul for death. We're headed toward the ground at terminal velocity, saints of God. And what's more, other people are falling and they have no clue. That's why I'm glad to be in a church of ministry, not a church of membership. There's a difference. I love churches that are about ministry. Members, when you think you're more important than membership, you are out of line and out of order. God is about ministry. He's about going out and reaching people. He's about sacrificing. If you're a member, you think that you should have special privileges. Oh my, you've missed the boat. Big, big time. With membership comes responsibility. You ought to be the ones that are doing the most in the church. But I've seen members like the one that came up to us and said, you're in my seat, you know. I thought, okay, we got out of his seat. But he had this sense, this feeling that it all revolved around him because he'd been there for 50 years. It all revolves around Jesus, guys. Always has and always will. It's not about membership. It's about ministry. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Everybody in your workplace, everybody in your family, everybody in every relationship you've ever been a part of is experiencing terminal velocity. And it's in a bearer of the light, a salt of the earth. You ought to light up every room that you walk into. You ought to be the answer woman, the answer man everywhere you go because you've got Jesus Christ who is the answer to all things. Be the light, be the salt, make a difference. I've often told my family, if you're going to put anything on my tombstone, I hope I will. Oh, I will live up to this phrase. He mattered. Don't you want to matter? Don't you want to make a difference? That's why we're always busy about our Father's business. And that's why you're doing what you're doing. Because it's your destiny. It's what you were called to do. To change people's lives. To warn them that they're falling. They don't know it. They can't sense it. Their flesh won't allow them to. They feel like they've got all the time in the world to live and no problems. Atheists, agnostics, Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, everybody is falling to the ground at a terminal spiritual velocity. I want to say two things here. Number one, to the unbeliever. If you by chance have been through this much of service and you are still an unbeliever, God bless you. We're going to change that before the day's over. Okay? But to the unbeliever, your senses betray you. Don't ever, ever trust your flesh. always honor and respect God. There's nothing wrong with making sure of your salvation, making sure to talk to the Lord. My sons often will find themselves debating some friends at school, some fellow Christians that believe that once you're saved, there's no other reason ever in their life to ever ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins, even if they're a dirty dog sinner after that. We disagree with that. We think it's important to always have a repentative spirit, a repentant heart, a humble and contrite person. That's what God will forgive. That's what He will restore. That's what He can use for His glory. I was debating a guy about this once saved, always stuff, and I was talking with him, and there's another preacher friend of mine. We're the Minister's Alliance together. He and I were in a deep discussion. Pastor, you know what those are like? And we were talking back and forth, and he says, well, let's go to the Word. I said, yeah, let's. So we went to the Word, and he says, right here, Paul says that when I sin, it's not me that sins. It's not my spirit. It's my flesh that sins. My spirit is right, but my flesh, it sins. I said, okay. So like I often have done throughout my life, I went to Dad. I said, Dad, what do you do with that? I know what my spirit says. I know what I feel. I know it's right to honor God and respect Him and be sure. Always in a state of repentance. It's okay to say, Lord, bless this food and forgive me, please, of my sins. It's okay to be that respectful. I said, Dad, what do you do with that? Dad says, okay, well, tell him to make sure he goes down to the jewelry store tonight at about 1 o'clock in the morning. Okay? When he goes down, tell him to break out one of the windows and start getting all the jewelry and putting it on his wrists and putting it in his pockets. When the police arrive, he said, make sure you look at it, that he looks at the police and says, okay, I want you to understand something. It's not me that did this. It's my flesh that did this. And he said, and just tell him to leave his spirit at home and send his flesh to jail. It doesn't work that way. Your spirit is going to go where your flesh goes until Jesus calls us home. Friend, we need to be careful. We need to always be mindful that we need repentance. You need to be humble. Pride is what will send you to hell faster than anything. And pride will say, I'm okay, you're okay, there's no big deal, we're all right. Well, it's not your call, it's God's call. And it's Him that we must satisfy. At your death, your preacher might be satisfied, your denomination might be satisfied, your workplace might be satisfied, your family might be satisfied, but what your job is to make sure that Jesus is satisfied with your life. Because if Jesus is satisfied, it doesn't matter what I think, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It's Christ that we mind to. It's Christ that we follow. I saw a bumper sticker in Austin the other day. It said, humankind, be both. Okay. And I thought, all right, that sounds neat. Humankind, be both. My problem is I like the kind part, but being human isn't always very pleasing, is it? I mean, does anybody else here have battles with the flesh sometimes? The rest of you are liars. No. Humanity is not very good. And you better not put your eggs in the basket of humankind. You better not have your eggs in the basket with how good you are and how decent you are. Humble yourselves before God. Talk to Him. Ask Him to come into your heart. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Ask Him to cleanse you and renew a right spirit within you. This is the way we're to be. Unbelievers, you need help. You need help like every believer in here once did. You need to go to Jesus Christ. Ask Him to cleanse you of all of your sins. He'll do it in an instant. You don't have to go through a Bible study series. That'd be good. That'll help. You don't have to do this and that. That'd be good. That'll help. All you got to do is be serious with God. If you do that, He'll be serious with you, and He will change your life. That's to the unbeliever. To the believer, we got to look around us, guys. We got to see that everybody else is falling. And we are the ones in the watchtower. It is our job to lovingly and kindly warn people. Not to say, boy, I'm glad I'm not like you. No, we just say, hey, I love you. God loves you. You're better than that. You really are. Your destiny is higher than what you're doing. You've got incredible potential locked up inside of you. That sleeping giant is waiting to explode. I know you're better than that. You do too. You feel it, don't you? You know this isn't right. God loves you. And you're going to see your destiny, and I'm going to help you do it. I'm going to be there for you. I want you to learn to start counting the parachutes around you. Look around. We're all falling. We're going down. But I want you to begin to look around and see how many parachutes you see. Ron and I weren't completely comfortable until we saw that parachute open. And we were, oh, there he is. There he is right there. We were so thrilled to see him come floating in. It was just such a relief. And that's what we are as believers. That's why you're doing ministry. That's why you're in the streets. That's why you're doing stuff. Because we want to find as many parachutes as we can. We can't stop the fall. We can't save their bodies. But what we can do is harvest some souls. And the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. You knew that, didn't you? I'm not surprised at all. John 3:16 simply says, for God so loved all of us, the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Do not get used to that scripture. You hear me? It's just as powerful as the first time you ever read it. Musicians, would you come? I like the minister team. Would you come and stand behind me, please? We're going to do some work here. I want to minister to you today. If you are a believer, I want to challenge you this morning to go after God and to find something to do. You may be in a church that's doing a bunch of other stuff and you're enjoying watching them do it. That's okay. That's okay. But I want to push you to excellence. Excellence is where you say, what is God destined for me to do? What gift has he given me? These girls that were dancing up here, they would make the Baryshnikov ballet in Russia or something. But you know what they're doing? They're giving it all. I enjoyed that. They were jumping and leaping. Well, I'm not going to do that. They were just getting after it. And I was listening to you. I was listening to you. The cast of The Lion King and Beauty and the Beast and Phantom dances better than what we saw. Right? But you weren't here to be entertained. You were rejoicing with them. You were glad. You were seeing potential unleashed in them. Because they're doing this thing today. Tomorrow, they'll be doing greater things. And I love it that you let the little girl. Where's the leader? Am I looking? She's up there with the kids. I love it that she let the little girl announce the program. You know what she's doing? She's training them. She's teaching them not to be afraid of a crowd, but to be ready to go out and minister. You are better than what you are if you're not doing anything. God has raised you up, and he's planted things inside of you that the world's going to try to harvest. Don't you dare let that happen. You give it back to God and give it to his glory. Make a difference. Matter. That's a parachute. I want to encourage you today. If there's some things that you like to begin to branch and say, I'm not giving it all. I've got more. I know I've got more. I want you to come up this morning, just a moment, when the prayer team's behind me, and I want you to ask them to agree with you. Say, I want you to agree with me this morning that God's going to unleash power in my life to make a difference. If you're not saved, if you're not sure that if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven or not, don't you dare. Don't you dare leave this room today unsaved. The dumbest thing you could ever do is to leave a church that's inviting you to Jesus and walk out of those doors unsaved and lost. What a waste. You're better than that. If you're not sure this morning, these people are going to be up here to pray with you. They want to agree with you. You say, well, what if I walk up there? People can think that's me. Nobody's going to know whether you're the person that wants to be unleashed or you're the person that's unsaved. God doesn't want to point you out or make you feel uncomfortable. He doesn't want to do it. He wants to save you. He wants to regenerate you. He wants to equip you for power to change people's lives. That is your destiny. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you. Bow your heads with me right quick. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I want to speak to the unbeliever and to the believer. Father, I want to speak to the unbeliever first to come to Jesus. Fulfill your destiny. Begin anew this morning. You are the life changer. You're going to change the life today. Father, to the believer, Lord, I speak to them power, creativity, the God of all creativity, flow through them. Begin to push them. Begin to prod them to go places they've never gone and to do things they've never done, to be light and salt to a world that desperately needs to know that there is a parachute to stop their fall. Lord Jesus, we pray that you change lives this morning. In Jesus' name.